This morning's scripture comes from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom.
At the beginning of the service, I said, you know, this was the least, you know, the least people, and then there was a little bit more, and then there was the most, but really, this is the popular crowd over here. So I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe I should just go over here. No. That's okay. Some Sunday, I'll ask everyone to mix around and move somewhere else. Don't worry, not right now. I know. You have your pews. Well, if you were here last week, you might remember that we went through Isaiah 9, 6. And as I promised last week, we're going into just the verse right after, verse 7. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you want to get the one in front of your pew, or share with somebody Isaiah chapter 9. And we'll read verse 6 as well, even though it was just read. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for bringing us here. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to open up your word, and especially as we come up towards Christmas. Lord, I pray that with all the distractions of life, that this moment right now, we will have ears to hear and be open to what you have to say to us. We thank you so much for your word and for the truth that it brings. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to read Isaiah 9, 6 one more time, and then we'll go into verse 7, and as I usually do, we will go through the verse a little bit at a time. But this is Isaiah 9, 6, of course. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So if you weren't here last week, some of you weren't here last week, I want to give a brief summary of what we learned and what we learned about this verse. About 700 years before Mary gave birth to Jesus, we had this sort of baby announcement. I like to call it a baby announcement of sorts. That a child would be born, the son would be given, and the government or absolute rule or dominion would be on the shoulders of the Son, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So as I said at the beginning of this service, today marks November 25th, and 1 month from now, of course, is Christmas. So I will ask you, are you ready for Christmas? No. Wow. Yeah, sort of. Majority no. Wow. And when I ask you that question, you're probably thinking about the gifts, right? The shopping. But are you ready for Christmas besides the shopping?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. That's more like it. So, like I said before, like last week, we'll be going through one verse, and then we'll be going through parts of that verse. So I want to read Isaiah 9:7 now. This is what God's word says. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And I guess, Dale, you don't quite have the second half of that verse, but he's getting it. So open up your physical Bible. It'll be there. So the title of the sermon, if you see your sermon notes or the bulletin, is Reigning Forever. And the point that I want to get across with this message in particular, more than anything, is that the reign of Jesus changes everything. This is going to be a theme that we see across this verse that declares something about the coming Messiah, and specifically that his reign and his rule will never end. It will reign forever. And although that is the theme, we're going to see, of course, why this really matters. So, as I usually do, let's go through the first part of this verse. In the New Testament, at least in the New Testament, God is called the God of peace 5 times. In the Gospels alone, peace is mentioned 23 times. Last week, if you were here, we heard about the word government. It means rule or dominion. So if you were here last week, you remember the rule or dominion of Jesus, it's going to be on his shoulders. Jesus had the absolute rule or dominion. Now we read that of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So like I said before, the main theme is Jesus will reign forever. And I want to talk a little bit about this word peace. If you were here last Christmas, so pretty much a year ago, of course, going through Advent, we talked about peace quite a bit, but I want to take you back. And I was looking here on the stage, and I, of course, see Shalom here as well. So that's a great sort of backdrop to that. Because the word peace here in this context is the word Shalom, which doesn't really mean peace in maybe a way that we think. It doesn't mean peace in relation to silence or rest. Like after a long day, you just sit on the couch and you say, finally, some peace. Not quite like that. So this is why being in Christ or being a Christian doesn't mean that there will be no stress in your life. It doesn't mean that you won't have persecution. Rather, it means that Jesus will complete every part of your life. When you taste and see the words and the love of Jesus, he starts to inform each part of your life. There will be no end to this because the rule and reign of Jesus changes everything. If you follow along in your sermon notes, you'll see, and hopefully a good progression as I go along. But that the peace that we're talking about, it changes everything. And that peace can only come from being in Christ. It can only come from Jesus himself. John Piper writes this. You can read this in your sermon notes. If we want peace to rule in our lives, God must rule in our lives. Christ must rule in our lives. God's purpose is not to give you peace separate from himself. His purpose is to give you peace by being the most glorious person in your life. Jesus is the only means to peace. And this peace, this shalom, will never end because it is from God himself. So I want to talk about this a little bit more. Because you see, as humans, just as humans, we will always look to something to complete us. Remember, this word shalom really talks about completeness, because Jesus completes us. But as humans, we'll look to something to complete us, always. Work, sometimes. Relationships. Gratification of some kind. You name it. But here's the reality. When you start to search the world for those answers, you won't find one. Let me explain that a little bit. Take relationships, for example. Relationships from people you know, or maybe you don't even know. If you're looking for completeness, for peace at some level in the people you see every day, maybe the people that you don't really know, you see on social media or the internet, or you name it, you will probably start comparing yourself to them in some way, and that will tear yourself apart. Take marriage, for example, or even dating. If you look for that person to complete you, you will be hurt and disappointed. For people who are married in this room, you know that. Because we are sinners. We are sinners. You'll be hurt because that person is a sinner, you're a sinner, and for most of your marriage, for example, what you'll be doing is sinning. Many of you will look to gratification to complete you. Maybe you're feeling down. It's a hard week. You're tired. And instead of opening up your Bible, you might do something that you regret. You go to the kitchen and you eat a little too much of that chocolate cake sitting on the counter. Or maybe you go on the internet and go on some websites you're not supposed to be going on. At some point in your life, you had or you will have a time where you look for something to give you peace. And your search will come up empty if you do not look at Jesus. Sure, there will be many things that sort of give you satisfaction, at least for maybe a few minutes, but it won't last forever. They will all be temporary. Even doing good things, giving to charity, volunteering, it won't give you peace. Yes, you will feel better doing those things. You'll feel better because you're serving. You'll feel better because it seems like you are using your gifts to help people. And that's true. But you won't be satisfied if that is what you are looking to complete you. Because only Jesus will complete you. Only Jesus will complete your life and give you peace. This is why Paul in Philippians 4, 6-7 tells the church to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you look to Jesus for your needs, you won't be anxious. And the result of that will be the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which will guard your hearts and your minds. Let's continue on in this Isaiah passage. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. In Luke 1:32, we see the angel Gabriel talking to Mary. This is what Gabriel says. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, for the audience most likely reading this, hearing this at that time, this Isaiah passage, the throne of David had a lot of weight. David was known as probably the greatest king to rule, and to hear the coming Messiah would come not just from the line of David, but to reign on David's throne would come with a lot of power. This is why it's important for us to look at the whole biblical story, because there's some things in the Bible that just don't seem to make sense to us. But it's a lot of power there. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. Now, this reign that Jesus, the Messiah, has, will be establishing and upholding it. He will not do this with some sort of aggressive, self-serving way, but with justice and righteousness that you see behind me now. From that time on and forever. This is simply why the reign of Jesus changes everything. Let me explain that a little bit more. The rule and reign of Jesus will be one of justice and righteousness, not of injustice and unrighteousness. How about we talk about the names we heard last week? His reign is one of a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and of a Prince of Peace. And like last week, we saw how Jesus was given the government on his shoulders, but as we know, he took the role of a servant. This isn't the story of a normal king, president, prime minister for us. God promises that the Son he will give will have more power than any other before him or after him. In three of the four gospel accounts that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in three of those, there are mentions that the Son of Man, which is a name that Jesus gave himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This seems far from the modern account of many leaders that we see today, and at times a far account from what we model ourselves, unfortunately. He fulfills his promises and loves his people. Now, if you don't get this or believe it, you will live a life full of fear. And I want it to be clear that when I say you, I mean all of us. If we don't get this or we don't believe it, if we don't believe that the reign of Jesus changes everything, we will live a life full of fear. You see, the human heart was meant to be led, not primarily lead. Yes, we will all lead in certain situations, but our heart was meant to be led. And because this is the case, if you don't believe or understand the rule and reign of Jesus, you will depend on the rule of another. And unfortunately, that comes most likely in the form of yourself. The big problem with this is that you make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We are sinners and we know this. You're not just not perfect. You will fail the expectations of the ruler you need in your life. You will live a life full of fear and anxiety. But as usual, there is great news, good news. Jesus, as we see here, his reign and rule, his lordship over your life is something that can and will enter each part of your life. This doesn't mean that we don't have responsibility, though. But rather, our responsibility is now to reflect the rule and reign of Jesus in our life. See, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are declaring exactly that, that he is Lord and Savior over everything in your life. We must depend on what Jesus has said for us as our Lord and Savior, and he has commanded us to do much. Jeff Vanderstelt, in his book Gospel Fluency, says this: "The work that we are called to do is to rest from our own work, to make ourselves right with God, and believe in the work of Jesus on our behalf." If you're not a Christian today, you are looking most likely at yourself to try and control your own life, and through that, probably trying to gain approval, when the great reality here is that Jesus, who died for you, a sinner, and all we must now do is believe in the work of Jesus, reflecting in our words and deeds everywhere we go. Verse 7 continues on here. "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." I think this is a fitting end to the verse today. Isaiah declares that the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. There's sort of an energy or enthusiasm from God himself that will accomplish this, which means we can count on Jesus not only reigning forever, but ruling with justice and righteousness. So as I said before, we're approaching Christmas. Besides the shopping, most of you said you are looking forward to Christmas. Soon on Sundays, we'll be singing the carols. On the radio, it'll just be Christmas songs. Or even now, maybe that's happening. Soon the houses will have all their lights on them. And through all of these things, although good things, if they don't point us to Jesus, they are useless. Next week, we start Advent. And of course, we go through the themes of Advent. And if you forget what Advent means, it means the coming or the anticipating of the arrival of Jesus. So if you are a Christian today, if there's any time of the year where we should be sharing the gospel, it is Christmas. As we reach the end of the message, as we ended our text, our one verse today, I want to go through a couple temptations that we have as the church this coming month and season. And you can look in your sermon notes for this as well. The first one is to be a consumer. To be a consumer. Now I understand that gifts, buying gifts, receiving gifts is a big part of the Christmas season for a lot of us. The children get it. I think it was last week I did the children's time and they said they're looking forward to the gifts the most this Christmas season. Surprise. Many of us have grown up with this in our minds as we approach Christmas. Many of us stress as we leave the shopping up to the last minute, literally for some of us. But as Jesus, our ultimate example, showed from baby until ascending back to heaven, is that we are to serve, which is the complete opposite of consume. In fact, if we are consuming, the response to that consuming is to serve, to tell the community, the people around you, of what you have heard. When you hear from Jesus to love him and to love people, we cannot simply keep consuming the command. We must act on it. Here's the second temptation that I want to point out this Christmas season. To point people to good things. To point people to good things. I want to explain this with a little more clarity. For example, on Christmas, many of you will invite people to our Christmas Eve service. In fact, many of you may have a lot of people, a lot of family coming. Many of you will give them a gift when they aren't anticipating one, perhaps. Now, all of these are good things. In fact, many of these are great things. Invite them to the service. I'm not telling you not to invite them. Invite them to the service. Give them a gift. Invite them in their home, in your home. And yet, I want you to realize that I didn't say the temptation is to point people to do good things. I said the temptation is to point people to good things. See, our role, our job, our responsibility, and something we should look forward to is pointing people to Jesus. And yes, I know many of the things I said are paths to that. Hopefully when you invite someone here, they hear the gospel, they hear about Jesus. But if we only point people to good things like a Christmas Eve service or a physical gift without telling them why we do it or why gifts are something that we even do, we fail them. If we don't give them Jesus, we fail them. People will understand that it is better to give than to receive, for example. People will understand that we should be loving. But what all people need to understand is why this is the case. The reason for the season, as people say. What hearing Isaiah 9, 6 to 7 should do to us, should do, is remind us of the greatness of Jesus. It should get right to our heart. And unfortunately, what it does sometimes is just get in the ear and then right out the other. We go on with our week. What this text is screaming out for us to do is to point people to Jesus. Yes, invite them to a service on a Sunday. Invite them on Christmas Eve, but not without sharing why we do all this. Our words reflect what is in our heart, and our behavior reflects what is in our heart. Don't point people to good things. Point them towards Jesus. Steer people towards coming and joining people, singing carols, having a good time, but point it all to Jesus. If somebody asks you this Christmas season what Christmas means to you, respond with Jesus. If somebody asks you why they should come to a service on a Christmas Eve or a Sunday morning, respond with Jesus. As Jeff Anderstelt says, live your life as it would demand a Jesus explanation. Live your life this Christmas season like it would demand a Jesus explanation. This morning we've been reminded of the greatness of Jesus, that he will reign forever and his kingdom will be ruled with justice and righteousness. That is good news. And as we approach December, Christmas time, like I said last week, ask God to reveal what areas in your life Jesus still needs to reign over. Thank him for the season. Another reminder of the glory of God displayed in the child who would be born and the son who would be given. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. He is the reason that we do all of this, that we meet here, sing songs, open up the Bible. Father, may we be reminded of the weight of the reality that Jesus came, was born, and Lord, I pray that you will point us to the reason for the season, and that we would not be distracted and we would not point people to just the good things, but to Jesus, who gave himself for us so that we could live. In Jesus' name, amen.